Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners Second Helpings. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with my mum, and we are bringing you another fantastic episode of Table Manners from way back when. This one is none other than Kylie Minogue. It's from season 10. It was in September 2020. Oh, good old 2020. This was a sweet release from months of lockdown. I think, if I remember rightly, we
kept the door open.
Yeah.
I remember measuring my island to see that we could be over a metre apart.
Oh my God, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Because we didn't want anyone to get sick.
I think we were all quite nervous because we were such big fans. Her disco album had just come out. And guys, this is where the confirmation, if anyone needs to know how the collaboration between Kylie Minogue and I came about, she says it. We've got actual audible footage and record of her saying, hey, we should write together. So that's when I swooped in after we'd had a few bottles of the Kylie Minogue CDP. And I asked to go steady with her in the studio. And that is how Kiss of Life, our song, was born. We had such a lovely evening together. It was such an honour to have her. I kind of can't believe now that I've done a song with her. I've done a video. We are now friends. And this was kind of the first beginnings of that. And also congratulations to Kylie.
Padam, padam.
And also I just played with her at the weekend for the Radio 2 Festival. She has announced her Vegas residency. It's all going fabulously for Miss Minogue. And so it should do. She is one in a million. This is Kylie Minogue on Table Manners Second Helpings.
Padam, padam.
Kylie,
yes.
You've just come in, landed in the old flower bed. Well, you didn't land in there. You gracefully exited your car.
Did a stunt roll.
Yeah. Avoided the paps and you're in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I've been really looking forward to this.
So excited.
Honestly, this is... And I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm going to get it out of the way. You were my first ever concert.
No.
When I... Yeah.
Way.
Yeah. We got a limo to your concert.
Wait, I don't know which bit's more outrageous. You got a limo?
We had a limo, new H&M outfits, and you were tiny. Couldn't see you, but I swear to God, you waved at me and blew a kiss. I think it was at the Docklands, and it was...
Yeah, it was at Docklands.
What year?
I mean...
It must have been around...
Obviously before my growth spurt.
About 1992, 93.
Okay, right.
I think it was earlier.
91, maybe.
91,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I know. And I'm just going to get also out of the way. We had the best T-shirts from Blackpool, which had you and a love heart. I think you were at the top and Jason was at the bottom, and it was especially for you.
Pirate merch. Amazing.
It was amazing, yeah. Though. And yeah. I tried to find that shit on eBay because it was so freaking good.
It's hard to find, yeah.
But yeah, you're here. We're going to feed you and we're going to drink your wine. We just got sent the whole shebang.
Loads of it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
When did you become a vintner?
Well, I'm not really. It's something that I had this fantasy, like I've started drinking more rosé, as a lot of people did in the last few years. And I was like, oh God, I'd love to have a rosé.
I am just, this is a journey to learn about wine, and it's been really fascinating so far, working with a great team. I said, I'm just warning you, I'm going to ask lots of really idiotic questions, dumb questions. And, you know, the greatest response to that, which they gave, is there's no such thing, just ask anything. So, yeah, the main thing was I really liked this team, small team, like three people. Historically, all they've done is work in wine, got out of the big corporation, started their own company. They said, if we can't have dinner with people, we don't want to work with them. I was like, I like that. And just I went on about quality. You can't just put my name on something and that's just not going to work. So, yeah, we worked really well together and I'm so learning.
Where is the vineyard?
In France, yeah. But by the end of the year, we'll have an Australian Chardonnay and early next year an Australian Pinot Noir. So, yeah, started French, which is a little strange as an Aussie, but we've got Aussie coming.
You're laughing because, I mean, Australia's got excellent. I mean, I remember I did a festival there and I'll never forget the Adelaide wine that I drank. Where are you from? You're from Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah. Yeah, so the Pinot Noir will be from Yarra Valley, which is in Victoria, and the Chardonnay is from Western Australia, which is another wine that's represented by this team I'm working with, Benchmark.
So how's things promoting a new... I mean, you've done it a few times, but like...
Not like this.
Yeah.
It's just starting to feel more real now, like album promo. First single, I literally was like, well, I know it's out there. And you know when it becomes real, like one of your friends will say, hey, I just saw you, I heard your song on the radio. My sister called me from Australia and the back of a car coming home from work, she's like, it's on the radio right now. And then it becomes real. But not flying around like a maniac, not doing, traipsing around to do all the usual stuff. Yeah, it felt quite odd.
Nice, not traipsing around doing all the stuff.
Kind of nice, yeah, kind of nice. I mean, it would be nicer to be able to go to Australia and see my family and all that.
You can't go at the moment.
You can go, it just requires quarantine and everything's just so uncertain. And my family, they're in Melbourne, which has had a 6-week stage 4 lockdown, which is looking like they're slowly going to come out of that.
Growing up in Melbourne, who was doing the cooking in your house?
Mum.
Good
mostly,
cook?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a great cook. I think it was pretty standard when you've got three kids to feed all day, every day. And my dad worked quite long hours, so it'd be fairly basic fare. But in the last, I want to say 15, even 20 years, she's pretty, like she's making, you know, sushi rolls or, I don't know, they get obsessed with something. Currently, so my really mum and dad are obsessed with pippies.
What a pippy?
Which is, that's what I said, what's a pippy? Crikey. It's like a little clam, but it's from New Zealand. I had to look it up.
So you do like a pippy vongole?
I guess they do. I mean, vongole just kind of chucks it all in, and then you, of course, you'll say, that was great, what was in that? Oh, just, you know, a list of basic ingredients, and then it'll be kind of 15 minutes. Oh, and I put, yes, see? Didn't mention that bit. That's always an extra bit. My brother's a good cook. My sister's a good cook. I have been the family joke pretty much always. But I've changed in the last couple of years. I do cook.
What do you cook?
Pretty easy things. My go-to would be baked fish. Throw the fish, vegetables all in. Mm. So easy, tasty. And my boyfriend's a good cook, so that's one of the things we like to do together.
So do you think you become a cook to please him? Because it is the way to a man's heart, they say.
No, not to please him, but it was just something that we did together.
Does he like his food?
Yeah. Okay. And he's good cook, so I just joined in. And also he was quite, maybe this is cunning actually. He's like, no, you do it. And then I said, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, just don't think about it, just do it. So kind of building up my confidence with just doing it. Throw it in. What are your taste buds saying? Like, well, they're saying this. Okay, do it. It's a lovely thing to do together. I send him out to do the big shop, though.
So you've been locked down together, obviously.
Not initially, but then when we were able to, yeah.
I'm really gasping for this wine now. Okay. Do you think, like, Kylie, would you ever put an ice cube in it?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So we can do that because it's not fully chilled. But this is which one are we trying? The Côte de Provence.
The Côte de Provence.
And what do you? I'm sorry for people that are really down with the Côte de Provence. What do you call it?
Oh, CDP.
Oh, CDP. It's like CDP.
But my boyfriend and I will say, shall we open a bottle of the KM? Yeah, we'll open the KM.
What's the KM?
Just the Kylie Minogue.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Not that we're, you know, we don't drink other wine. And actually, I'm not a big drinker. I normally wait. This is a school night and we're having some wine. But, you know, just like enough.
Have you...
It's quite cold.
Okay, good. But so do we need the ice cube or not?
Don't think so.
Okay. So Danny's a good cook.
Yeah. My sister's the one who keeps saying, where's the WhatsApp group for the recipes? She is in deep. She could have her own podcast, her own TV show about what's... She just knows stuff. She has... Are they real birds?
Yeah, they're birds.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Are they parakeets or...?
No.
It's not a magpie.
The decorator.
That's a very pretty sounding bird.
This is a magpie.
No.
No, wouldn't it be blackbird singing in the dead?
Maybe it's a blackbird.
No. Okay, well, it's dark now. Maybe it's the blackbird.
Cheers! Oh, sorry, I thought you'd pour.
Cheers. Cheers. Thank you for making this dream happen.
Cheers, darling.
Thank you. Was it quite nerve-wracking bringing out the wine?
Oh, my
God. Or did it just feel fun? As it got, hold on a minute.
Delicious.
Mm-mm.
It's really good. Let's put it back in the fridge.
Delicious.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, pop it back in the fridge.
It's not going to need to stay in the fridge long.
For long. I just wanted to handle it sensitively because of the timing and a lot of people going through tough times, and it didn't seem like...
Last year we would have had a
launch and a party and, you know, frivolous kind of thing, but it was just this year. It was on my birthday in May. So we did a soft launch and just let it have its own, like people just get to know it. So this one came out maybe a month ago. So we've had kind of...
No, I've seen it on Instagram, particularly with my gay friends.
Yeah.
They're really...
they are loving and they are big supporters. And it's so cute to see all the pictures of them, you know, either home alone having a meal or, you know, with their bubble friend or in the park, whatever. It's really nice.
When did you realise you had a huge LGBTQ following? Was it from the beginning or is it kind of...
It was almost from the beginning. It may have been from the beginning, but I... Maybe 1990, something like that. And I was in Sydney working, because I'm not from Sydney, and we were passing by like the main kind of Oxford Street where the most famous gay clubs are. And someone said, oh, there's a Kylie night on tonight. And I'd never even heard of such a thing. I thought, what? Like I'm 20 years old or 21 years old. And so I said, that's happening at the Albury. And I was like, let's go. My manager said, I don't think you should. Let's, you know, no, basically. And that's the first time I kind of became aware of it being something.
Did you go?
I didn't go. I have been to Kylie Nights since. And I'm the least Kylie of all the Kylies. It's hilarious.
Kylie.
Yeah. The best example of that was maybe kind of mid-90s. And I'd been to see the Lemonheads in Melbourne. There's a few me's, and that was the, you know, the 1970s market grubby suede miniskirt that I wore all the time.
Was that Confide in Me era?
It was around, before that even, before that. Curls, a little macrame top, like I'd been to see the Lemonheads, that was so cool and everything. And we ended up at this gay bar because it was Kylie night, and there's pictures of it. There's like four Kylies, like big Kylies. And then me, who just looks like I shouldn't be there. Because
so
there was none of the stuff.
These are drag queen Kylie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're amazing. What I love about it is I never marketed towards that. That was just kind of normal to me. Maybe growing up in TV or there's always members of that community around. So it wasn't it was a shock to hear that because it was brilliant. But, yeah, that's where it started. And it's been a kind of an organic love affair ever since.
But were you acting and singing? Did you go to stage school?
No. So
how did you and Danny both become involved in singing and performing?
I wish I could tell the kind of a streamlined story of that. So when I was 11, so my, I've got to count backwards, 11, 10, 9, 8. My sister went to a talent, like a song and dance talent school. I think I've got this the right order. You trying to get the cat out?
It's driving me mad.
The cat is like, his off prince.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows it, doesn't he?
Yeah. But he's become an attention seeker.
He's a bit of a star fucker, you know? Yeah.
His name, Prince after Prince.
All hail. Okay, let me try and figure out this story. So the beginning I'm a bit blurry on, but, you know, I wanted to be in ABBA as 8, 7, 8, 9 year old. There was Grease Lightning. My brother and sister, we'd all do Grease Lightning in the front room. So was a bit of a pop addict. And actually, to disco, that's when, so I was 10 in 78, so playing Donna Summer record, my dad's Donna Summer record, and the Bee Gees and ABBA and Chic and all of that kind of stuff. So I did love music. I didn't really think about acting, and I was never in school plays or anything. I just wasn't, I don't think I was that showy kid, but the family photos might say otherwise. I'm like being the clown in the front. But my mum had an acquaintance, I'm not even sure if she was a close friend, but someone who worked in the casting department of a production company, and they were looking for a young girl for this role, a TV role, and asked if mum would bring my sister and I in. We'd had no experience. So, yeah, mum took us in and I got that role, which, so I was 11, in a show called The Sullivans.
The Sullivans?
Yeah, I think that might have aired here. I had no idea what I was doing. But actually, the weirder part is before they started filming that, the same production company asked if I could do one day's work on another series. And Jason Donovan was my brother in that show. So we're both 11. And that's when I first met Jason Donovan, and then didn't meet him until Neighbours, which was years later. So I did these acting roles, just the two. Didn't do anything else till I was 16, and just kind of mentioned to mum and dad, I really like to do that again. And we still didn't know what to do, even though in the interim my sister had become part of a show called Young Talent Time, which is like Mickey Mouse Club. And so there's maybe 10 kids between the ages of probably 8 to 16. You kind of got the flick when you're 16. So there's a kid singing and dancing show. So mum and dad knew a little bit about that, but not about acting. And anyway, try to make a long story short, I'm piping up about this as I'm 16. Maybe partly was seeing Dan doing her show and just feeling like, oh, I want to do something, even though I was crazy about music. And I think one of my parents just called the same production company and asked, how do we go about this? And it so happened that they were casting for another show then. So I auditioned for it, dressed up as the character, went for that role and got that. So I was 16.
When you got Charlene?
No, this is before Charlene.
Oh, before Charlene.
So this was a show called The Henderson Kids. And
I've heard of that.
Yeah, so it was about 6 months' work. So I had to do, you know, you have your tutor and do your schooling. So it was the end of my year 11 and then into the start of year 12, which you might know HSC from Neighbours days.
HSC.
Going to get my HSC.
And then they moved to Queensland.
Exactly. And so anyway, that's when the bug got me, because there was a bunch of other kids on that show, notably Ben Mendelsohn, who's just such an epic actor and all-round awesome.
You know him. He was in Bloodline. He was in Florence's music video.
Yeah.
I'm saying the right guy.
Yeah.
He is, like, you can't not watch him when he's on the screen.
He's incredible.
He is phenomenal.
So we go back. We've just been friends all these years. And it's like, we were 16. We go, we've done okay, haven't we? Didn't we do okay? And, you know, we as much as whatever both of us have achieved, we're still kind of 16 when we're together. It's really sweet. Then I finished school, which was kind of difficult after working on this TV show. And I was like, oh, I don't want to finish. And mum and dad were good. They said, you don't have to, but it would be good if you could at least get your HSC. So I passed by the skin of my teeth because I'd had to drop down to 4 subjects. And anyway, got my HSC. Nothing from school sounded appealing to me. I just wanted to act, and actually had some singing lessons with the little bit of money I'd had. So I'd go and have my singing lesson on the weekend. Made a demo tape when I was 17.
Were they covers or?
Yeah.
What covers did you do?
You won't believe it. It was.
I need to know.
And I found maybe not the original tape, but a copy of the tape. And I'm so I played it once on this little, like a vintage Walkman I've got. And I'm scared to play it again in case it just breaks. I need to get it digitized. I sound like a little mouse. So it was Dim All the Lights by Donna Summer. How on earth did I think I could sing these things? Just Once by Quincy Jones. And New Attitude by Patti LaBelle.
I mean, but they were mega kind of...
just not doable. Well, I mean, that's what I was into, I guess.
But that's amazing, isn't it? Because you've completely fulfilled that. I mean, your new record.
Yeah, and
disco,
I think I.
And
yeah, it's amazing.
That's a huge.
It's so foolish on my part, but and I cried in the studio. I didn't know. I was so scared. I was spending my money to, you know, get a tape of these three songs, and the practical side of me was thinking this will help for acting. So, any actor's going to tell you. You know, when they ask if you can water ski, can you jump out of it? Yeah, can you sing? Oh, here's my cassette. So
you're,
I was thinking
pro.
It was
like for business.
But I did harbour that kind of bedroom dream of being a pop singer. I just didn't know that how to get into that path.
But you must, you're a pop singer that is a pop singer forever. I mean, you've not.
Please
not,
tell me how just, that happens, and how can I be able tips. To do this forever like
just
you do?
Keep going, literally.
No, but it's more than that, Kylie. The style, the creative, the songs, the dancing, the kind of generosity to your fans. You've created this community that is so devoted to you.
Yeah,
and like your shows are pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
What was the Venus?
Aphrodite.
Aphrodite. And
that was. Crazy.
Are you sometimes like, shit, I've bitten off more than I can chew here? When you're like high up in the sky or being picked up by...
This is going to come out wrong, I was about to say. There's not much I haven't ridden, but I have ridden many things. The angel, the horse, that, you know, you name it. I've kind of done that in stupid heels and trying to sing at the same time. And it's the things that no one would imagine... that are hard. Yes, people generally know touring's grueling and you can't have any other fun because you can't even go and I'm presuming you'd be the same. It's like, I see you at the bar, like, no, I can't talk. I just can't talk over. So, yeah. Don't mind me. And trying to travel from A to B in heels, doing your quick changes, it's all that you can do to try and get a sip of water in. So it's just that stuff that I often think, wow, you really should have just... giving yourself a bit of a break, but
it's exhilarating and it's addictive,
it is.
Right?
And I have missed it this year, and I've just realised that because I toured a lot 2018 and 2019, but in general, I'm used to having this kind of low level of fairly consistent adrenaline that you're doing this or you're doing that, or like peaking and maxing out that you're touring and you're trying to sustain that energy and, you know, reach those heights every night. And to not have had that this year is something strange. Don't want it to turn into the blues, you know, because adrenaline is like that.
It's the
classic thing, like post-tour depression. And you're kind of like, well, I did it. I should feel great. And it literally, now I know, it takes 2 weeks. Your adrenal glands are like, we got this. We're doing it every night. We are pumped. And then you stop and they're just going, like, where does that energy go?
I wanted to know... I mean, this is more for me. Any things on your rider that I should definitely have on mine? Or anything?
I'm so boring.
Me too.
Like, you know, a kettle, a coffee.
Coffee
machine, I like a good coffee.
Okay, fine.
Like, don't give me some crap.
We're Australian.
Yeah, I'm from Melbourne. I'm sorry.
What is it about this coffee?
We are the worst. We really are.
Is that where they invented baristas? I think they did.
I'm not sure. I don't know if they invented them, but
it's like a cultural job, isn't it?
Yes, very much.
So, yeah. Okay, right. Tell me how you take your coffee.
I like what they call, in Australia, they now call it a piccolo latte. Italians are like, what are you talking about?
Hold on, there was that a piccolo and now there's a piccolo latte?
Yeah. Or maybe the short for
What's
it is piccolo.
What's a piccolo then?
It's a tiny latte, so you don't have to deal with all that milk. You get
isn't that a flat white, Kylie?
Isn't that a flat white, which I thought was Australian?
No, I think it's a bit different. It's very similar. Now the baristas are going to come after me going, what are you talking about?
I thought flat white was invented in Australia.
Yes, yes.
And thank you, Australia, for that.
Yeah.
I love
the
best.
Flat white.
We don't know cappuccino, just...
Yeah.
So this is my understanding. The flat white and then a piccolo latte is just a, you know, smaller. the froth is not like a wet froth. It's more of a creamy froth.
But I think flat white's a creamy froth.
Yeah, that's creamy.
It's basically, imagine like Kylie-sized coffee.
Yeah,
that's what a piccolo
it's
latte
tiny.
Is.
Oh, and the other, like, that is the perfect size for me because it's just not too much. But also, you just that's connecting with thinking about touring and riders and the amount of times I now ask for, can I have half a cup of tea?
Half
when you're
cup.
At work, I genuinely want half a cup of tea because the full tea, I don't have time. This sounds stupid.
I agree
stupid.
With you.
There's no time for it to cool down.
Yeah.
So by the time everything else, okay, do
yeah,
that. Don't half, spill
yeah,
any.
I agree.
You get one sip of the tea, but the half a cup of tea solves the problems because it cools
cooler.
Down fast.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
That's about
it's
as
settled.
Demanding as you are, Kylie. I mean, that's, I think, you're doing
yeah.
all right. You've had such a huge, long career with probably so many memorable moments, but is there one particular memorable meal that you've just been like, what is going on? I mean, I've had
oh,
a few,
yeah.
it's like, you know, I'm, you know, a newbie to all this, but...
I am a foodie. I mean,
are you?
Until I get really excited about, I quite like simple things, which is good things.
Yeah.
I've been to Portofino a few times and there's a restaurant there that's, it's so picturesque. It's like, oh, I recognize that picture. That's Portofino with all the colored buildings. And so it's very compact and there's one little side, little alley. I think you can't drive a car. It's a walking alley. And it's a langoustine restaurant. It's called Da Obati, I think, from memory. Oh my God. Just stop. It's, you know, they put the bib on you and I can't even. I've probably been there four times, but I, you know, I dream of going back there. And of course it's the secret recipe, but whatever they do, it's phenomenal.
So is it langoustine that you're having? And it's
yeah.
just, they're just simply done with something.
It's a mystery. Very juicy. You know, you get involved. It's all you're eating with your hands. And there's some other small dishes, but there's zero need for them to ever change that secret recipe.
We ask every guest this. Dream meal. You're about to go to a desert island where, you know, your food is going to be minimal. Before you leave, you have your last supper. It's a starter, a main and a pud and a drink of choice.
Jesus.
You can think about it for a bit.
I might have to think about that. I think a nice simple starter, simple, is great asparagus, just grilled, lemon, salt and pepper, oil. That really, it's like, it's not too much. It just gets you going and you can do it at home.
Okay, fine.
Yeah?
No anchovy butter, nothing like that.
No.
Simple.
Although I do love anchovies.
Me too. Mm. Okay, fine. So that main, would you have those langoustines? Would they be your last supper?
I mean, yes. Yeah. I tend just to eat way too many of them. Like, to be real slovenly about it.
Yeah, it's
forget the bib.
And
dessert, I really like dark chocolate, so maybe like something flourless, dark chocolate. I don't really like sweets.
I fucked up.
What?
I told Mum to do a chocolate mousse and she said, should I do a flourless chocolate cake? And I said, no, don't fucking Kylie.
You're kidding me.
Don't. So you've got a dark chocolate mousse.
That's good.
But.
Perfect.
I apologise. It was going to be a flourless fucking.
I could have
bloody been your best friend after this.
Maybe. Maybe you could make one and I'll collect it another day. Because
okay.
I'm sure you make a mean flourless chocolate tort.
And then what's your drink? I mean, would it be the old KMCDP?
CDP?
Would it? Or would it, you know...
Yes.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Well, yes,
I'm hungry. And I'm about to kind of drool over you too much if I drink too much more of the CDP.
But you have to go slowly, don't you?
I know so many people... I did tell a few of my friends that you were coming round. Mostly my gay friends. Everyone loves
Aww.
You. You're like the Dolly Parton in that sense of you do no wrong. Like,
oh, I do.
But nobody sees it. You either like you're doing it very behind closed, but like, do you have some regrets within your career or not?
Yes. Yeah, of course I do. To name them.
You don't have to name
no,
them.
No, it's quite difficult. It's more like a little bit here and a little bit there or... God, I wish I'd done that. A lot of I wish I'd done that differently. I could have done that better. Why didn't I see what was happening? But
it's so funny because from the outside, it's like you are one of the most flawless pop stars that I think we see. So as an artist myself, that's really encouraging and reassuring to hear, because I see you having had this trajectory of like, it's just been fucking winner, 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 winner. You're a perfectionist.
Mostly, yeah. There's some areas where I can, if I'm really on the fence about something, it can go either way. I'm not sure how correct I am in saying that, in thinking that it's in recent years or, you know, last, I don't know, 5-10 years or whatever, where I am more, you know, I just don't let things slide. But actually, if I look back to some things from the past, I think I've had the idea, but I haven't always spoken up. You know, I'd love to know if you've been in similar situations where there's just so much noise, and especially when I was younger, like, well, you're the grown-up, so I guess you know. I don't know. I'm new to all of this, even though it's really successful. And but it was learning on the job, basically, a lot of it.
I wonder.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Smells great.
It was a different time. Mm-hmm. You are a woman in music, and I don't know. You know, I've felt it where you almost have to feel apologetic if you disagree in a way, and I don't know, and that's in this time.
Yeah,
you know, even it's I think it gets easier because I feel like maybe I am more confident now. But you were just doing this a while ago.
More knowledge and more certainty, and I think it is, you know, thankfully it does feel like it's changing, and I try to. I mean, I'm sure you get younger people on this show. It'd be great to hear what they have to say about how they feel. Not that they know what to compare it to as experience, but what they've read about or what they've heard about. But it does seem like the younger girls now have stronger voices.
I agree.
And that's amazing.
I agree. Okay, so then I have to ask, because I feel like a strong voice that we all kind of know of is Pete Waterman.
Yeah.
And I really want to know what it was like working with him.
I think one of the reasons it worked well for me, I didn't know any different. They were unashamedly and rightly so called the Hit Factory. And I came from being in a soap opera where you get your lines, you say your lines, then you do the next scene and you do the next thing. So probably sounds so weird now to hear, but I would have to be written out of Neighbours, so to get 2 weeks to travel from Australia to here. They'd have to write Charlene.
That's how
she'd go to Brisbane or something.
So was it happening simultaneously? That's how.
There was a period where I was doing them both. And then when that became too difficult, then I left Neighbours and pursued music. But I think I literally didn't know anything about songwriting. I barely knew anything about singing or performing. It just kind of, it was like playing a character and just doing what was asked of me. I was going to say doing what I was told, but I think it's more what I think was required.
Yeah.
And in the kind of 5 years with them and me going from a 19-year-old to early 20s and just becoming curious and wanting to be more involved and be in the room and not be in the waiting room until they were ready.
Because you weren't even allowed. It was...
Not in the beginning, right. No. I think that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
So I think I learnt just from being around music and performing the songs, but yeah, it was kind of, it almost seems so crazy now that I'd go in the studio any day. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. You go in and start the day with nothing and then you've got something.
Yeah,
you've made something.
It doesn't really feel like a job, does it?
It doesn't feel a job, especially when you're just...
When it's working.
Well, or when you're just throwing things at the wall and see what sticks, and you're generally with people you want to be with, and it's just, I don't know, just it's like kind of flying or something. You just, stuff's happening. Then when you get to the kind of pointier end, it starts to feel like work. Like,
yeah, right.
Okay, is this really any good? Are we all crazy? Thank you so much.
There's more salsa verde if you want.
Thank you, Mum. Oh, it's nice, Mum. I think the butter beans with the salsa verde is a winner.
It's
good, right?
I just made contact with the butter beans and the salsa verde. Nice. Really good.
I do feel like we have to shout out Mira Soda, who's a Guardian columnist, a brilliant cook, who does the vegan column and does amazing things. And actually, it was my brother. This isn't her recipe, but it was her suggestion that my brother's been doing butter beans with a salsa verde.
Mm.
And I think it's a winner.
It's an absolute winner. And... a little bit of a reheat the next day with some other bits and bobs. Yes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can I just slightly throw it back and congratulate you on your album?
Oh my god! Yeah, babe, like that. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You can.
Absolutely. So good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, I did jump for joy when Kylie Minogue put me on her playlist.
Yeah.
On Spotify.
We should write together one day.
Yes. Yeah, we should.
I would love that.
When I made What's Your Pleasure, there was the song, the album, the title track of the album, mm-hmm. is called What's Your Pleasure.
Yeah.
And when we made it, I was like, Kylie, this, I kind of feel like I'm pretending to be Kylie Minogue on this. Because, like, in my head, I was trying to be Debbie Harry and Kylie Minogue.
Oh my God.
And then
God.
I was like, Kylie Minogue should take the second verse. She should.
Why didn't you call me?
I don't know. Maybe I should have. I don't know, because you're fucking Kylie.
I only live over the river.
Oh my god, this is great. We're going to go to Amelia, we're going to go to
and I was stuck at home.
Piccolino lattes. This is great.
And I have my own studio.
Do
well,
you?
When I say studio, I mean like the 5 bits of kit that you need. So I did most of my album, my vocals at home.
No, you record yourself. Oh, get an engineer in and then.
So, yeah, producer and engineer. Well, normally it's the producer who is engineering would remote access my designated laptop. So there's no emails about to pop up or, you know, reminders or anything. But in watching that, I started to learn how to, you know, the basics of Logic. And now I can say, yeah, yeah, I'll get them to you later. I even had to move the studio once the album was done. I thought, this is a bit in the way here, so let's get it to another zone.
Is it in your house?
Yeah. It was lockdown. I was home. Yeah.
So what, did you finish your record in lockdown?
Completely, yeah. So I started the album, started writing last year. Mm. So Say Something and Magic were both, so the first two singles were done last year.
Yeah.
Say Something was finished in lockdown, finished remotely with, you know, fine-tuning and getting kind of forensic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every other song that's on the album and the deluxe, maybe bar one or like one and a half were done at home.
So it's kind of a lockdown album in the sense that it was
a lot of it, yeah. I think there's only one other full song that was fully, aside from mixing, was done not in lockdown. And as the sessions went on, so we'd start just Zooms for just writing and then would go to remote controlling for recording. And I kind of joked, I said, I should be getting an engineer credit for this. And once we got to the end, I realised I am giving myself an additional...
Yeah, you fucking are.
I set all of this up. I just realised I did do it.
Yeah, damn right.
So yeah, I've given myself a credit and I'm quite happy with that, actually.
So
I'd be terrible for anyone else. Like, hey, also, people are now like, so you're a pro, you're a whiz. Can I just stop you there? I'm like, you know, grade two. My prep school was GarageBand and I'm maybe grade two. So I've got all of primary school and high school to go before I'm anything near a pro.
But speaking about grades, okay, so I also had, just to add to my fanatic Kylie phase, we had the VHS of you that was Kylie.
Was it like Kylie on the go or something?
It was
like
Kylie
that.
And you were playing the piano.
I did learn the piano when I was younger.
And you had these the most amazing, like, Mozart-esque sleeved... do you remember it? It was a blouse. It was white. And it was very...
Christ,
and you were there at the piano. You were like, oh, hey, you didn't catch... Oh, sorry, I'm just playing something.
Yeah.
And we'd watch it in this room. And the TV used to be here. And we'd watch it. And you'd be playing the piano. And it was, like, with a lot of sleeve. And I've always dreamed about this blouse.
That was probably, like, my Prince fantasy.
That would make sense. It was, like, very... Yes.
I think I remember... I might have had... Oh, this is really challenging me now. Maybe a little waistcoat, like a vest with it.
Yeah.
Some embroidery.
Yep.
From there, and probably massive earrings.
And you had curly hair, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and we, Hannah got like an embroidered waistcoat. Yeah.
Jessie thinks that the Neighbours theme tune was her white noise because when they were born, I'd listened to it. I'd watched it when I was pregnant. And then when they were born... We always had Neighbours on.
Were Des and Daphne?
I had the Daphne hair. The half up, half down, and then the ponytail.
She had double ponytail. What did she die of? We was can't remember.
Or in birth.
It was the saddest episode. We absolutely sobbed. Did she die in childbirth? But Des was left.
Did you just have nothing else on that you were
Des was desolate. No.
Des was desolate. Well, it was on twice a day.
Yeah, it was on.
So you could then just cry all over again.
Yeah. It was like the Archers, they did a repeat later.
Des was desolate. That's priceless.
Des was desolate. And Daphne's hair. And I remember I used to say to you, how would you like your hair? And you say, like Daphne.
She managed to get a lot of looks out of very short hair.
Oh God!
She was a good woman, Daphne.
Yeah.
Was she a hairdresser?
I don't know.
She was an ex stripper. That was the scandal. Oh, the scandal.
And then she worked in the cafe. No, the diner.
She started the cafe. It was so scandalous.
That was this cafe
from her stripper money.
I don't know. Presumably, if that was
Guy.
Part of her
Guy Pearce was your best friend.
He was one of the gang. Yeah, and I worked with him. 3 years ago, we played husband and wife in this Australian comedy film that's set in the 70s. So, I mean, he looks really good with the tash and the lamb chops and all of that. Yeah, he looked good. But that was hilarious. We didn't get to kiss.
Oh, shame.
But do you see Jason?
Sometimes. The last epic time I saw him was at Hyde Park. I had a show there.
And did you sing together?
Yeah. But even better than that, we... I had especially for you in the set, and my BBs would sing his parts. And because this was BBC Radio 2 Hyde Park concert going out live everywhere, we had a choir as well. And I texted Jason maybe the day before or 2 days before and said, oh, hey, I've got this gig in Hyde Park. Just let me know if you want to come along. And so he let me know on the day. He said, yeah, I'll be there. I'm just going to roll up on my bike. I said, well, great. And so then when I got to Hyde Park and said to my team, like my musical producer and creative director said, Jason's going to be here tonight. And they said, well, are you going to ask him? I said, well, I'm not going to call him now because I happen to know he's cycling in. And I don't want him to just get nervous and, you know, fall off or anything. But he arrived and then I asked him, I said, you can, you know, the easy answer is no, and that's totally fine. It's totally up to you. You can sing a bit, you can sing nothing, we can do a stupid dance. And you could see the cogs turning over. He's like, I said, is there a guitar? Like, what key is that in again? And he started going, and it was great because I completely caught him off guard. And he's such a good sport. He said, oh, it's good job I didn't turn up in my Lycra. Like my cycling Lycra.
Maybe you could have done.
That would have been another entrance. But literally I had friends who were in the business, they're not really fazed by much, but calling me crying. Just it was such a moment. So I'm really grateful to him for, you know, giving us that moment.
So I guess there will be plans to tour this because you are like a machine when you tour.
As and when... We can, and it's a viable thing, and it's safe for everyone.
Like sign
me up. Yeah. My dream for this tour would be to perform in the round, which I've never really done, have the world's biggest disco ball above, and make a a big love fest.
It's got to get, you got to get close though. That's the thing. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You want people getting sweaty and hugging and loving each other.
I know. So we'll see. It's obviously, it's a bit of a pipe dream now. And I kind of almost don't want to think about it too much. It seems so sad.
So what are you going to do when you're not touring? What are you going to do next now the album's out?
Work with me.
Get in the studio. Yeah. I don't know. Garden?
Are you a gardener?
Oh, kind of. Not very good.
Have you grown any vegetables over lockdown?
I did try.
Oh, what did you try?
I got some tomatoes, which of course is like, you know, I don't think you can fail front.
Did you? I fucked up on the old tomatoes. So yeah, you can actually.
So there were courgettes that were happening, runner beans, and you know, it was just that the little things like a friend gave me tiny seedlings that they'd started and said, oh, see those the bits of eggshell in there? That's because you break the egg and keep the shell and put your seed in there and the dirt in there and then like all this stuff that because we didn't, no one knew what to do with ourselves, every day was like, like there's this, you know, 5 millimeters of growth. And so I got quite into it and then I think the squirrel attacked everything and that was that.
I was going to ask, is England your home forever?
Long pause
is
there.
Is your boyfriend an Englishman?
He's a Welshman.
Welsh. Ooh.
Good choice.
Oh.
Nice people.
Yeah. But he's been in London for almost 20 years, I guess. There's just not going to be an Australian home.
Are you a British citizen?
I have a British passport and an Australian passport. Oh. So
you don't need to marry the Welshman to get...
I think Kylie's okay. We'll keep her.
Okay.
I think some people forget I'm Australian, actually.
I think we think you belong to us.
Yeah, you adopted me. That's a fact. A lot of people feel like they... You know, I was part of the family, grew up in Neighbours. I was in your lounge room or your kitchen twice a day.
That's what I think.
A teenager and then beyond that, just kind of growing up in front of your eyes. And I like people. I like kindness. I like, you know, I don't suffer fools gladly. But I think if, you know, if you kind of, kindness comes back to you and...
Well, you were very kind on The Voice. I thought you were exceptionally kind and nice.
That's nice. Yeah. That's,
why didn't you do
Have
more?
You done a show like that?
No.
It's quite hard. The blinds just went forever.
What was hard about it? That you kind of, the choosing people and critiquing or?
Yeah, some of that. Because you know, you don't
want to be people's dreams and some people just don't have a voice.
I totally rate the show, but I said in my initial part on that show, I said, I just have to say that as soon as that person turns around, it isn't just about the voice.
Mm.
It just isn't. You see the shock on people. It's a 12-year-old girl. It's a 65-year-old man. Like, it becomes about them and everything else. So yes, the voice is what has to make you turn. But yeah, they're just long. That's just TV. TV is long, and by the time it's edited, it looks like you were there for kind of 35 minutes.
Mm.
I think I subsisted on ready to eat protein snacks.
Yeah, because they wouldn't ruin.
There's just like no time.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
No time.
What happened to those gold shorts?
They were bought for 50p.
I know.
So that's the history. I don't really know what the history was before I got to know them, but they are with pretty much all of my costumes and performing things and memorabilia that I donated them to the Performing Arts Museum in Melbourne. So if I hit tough times, I have nothing to sell. No hot pants.
Not even
Charlene's overalls are in there. All the showgirl stuff. Like, they have
Charlene's overalls. Tons. And
that's basically the only thing I took from Neighbours was Charlene's overalls, which I would love to wear because when you did, you'd film the OB scenes, so the outside broadcast scenes, 1 week, and then you'd match the studio scenes the next week. So you always, one episode was spread over 2 weeks. And Melbourne could be freezing, freezing cold, and you're starting work at 6 a.m. So I've got in my Datsun, driven to work, learning my lines on the way. And so if I was wearing my overalls or Charlene's overalls, I could sneak some track pants or something underneath. And then the next week in the studio, you could be cool. So I loved my overalls.
That's a life hack. And
I love that Charlene was feisty and was kind of going against the grain.
Did you have to perm your hair?
No, that was my hair.
You're joking.
that is the most.
You've got straight hair.
I've got curly hair.
That's no, a Brazilian. Yeah, that's yeah. a Brazilian straight. Oh,
this is no, all sorts. This is a bit of work.
I perm my hair to get
some body.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what you're missing. I mean, you're not able to go to Australia at the moment. Obviously, you're missing your family.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of food are you missing? Because the food there is excellent.
My mum's food.
Really?
Or, you know, when we're all together and I never do as many dishes. I mean, because it's my brother and sister doing most of the cooking. Or mum or whoever's there and who's on dish patrol. So it's like, all I do is don't do dishes. But someone's got to set the table. Someone's got to, you know, do all of that. So I'm kind of mood, ambience, setting, and washing. But, you know, barbecues at home, I hate to sound completely obvious, but summer barbecue.
What is special about your family's barbecue? Is there something
Nothing.
That
it's just that it's a family barbecue.
Together.
Fair enough. Kylie, dinner party, 5 guests. Who are you inviting?
People who can actually attend. Oh,
no,
they're alive.
This is dreamland. Who would be at your perfect dinner
Paul
party?
Paul Newman.
Oh my god, yes.
Can it just be Paul Newman?
Sure. Why Paul Newman?
Because he's gorgeous.
He's gorgeous, Jessica.
Oh my god, he's the one.
Okay.
Yes.
So literally, Kylie is not inviting anybody else, just having her and Paul. I love that.
Look, I think everyone wants Marilyn at their dinner party.
No one's just done that one actually.
Really?
Yet. No. Were you a packed lunch girl when you were at school?
Yes. I mean, once in a while we could have some money for the tuck shop, but that was just once in a while.
So what was in your lunchbox?
It was usually a Straz sandwich.
It's a Straz
like
sandwich?
Strasbourg, like ham, a type of, well, like mixed, I don't know how to describe it, like maybe it's a bunch of meats together that look like a circle and then slice, like pre-sliced meat. I need to
ham. Look
that. Well, I'm not sure if it was just ham.
Spam.
It wasn't spam.
Corned beef?
No.
Straz. This is very interesting.
That's what I think it was called, Straz. Oh, thank you. So, or a cheese sandwich,
okay,
but you know, white, just white bread, butter.
Simples.
Weet-Bix in the morning. Weet-Bix, we call it Weet-Bix. It's Weetabix here.
Weet-Bix?
Weet-Bix.
Yes, every morning,
Australians.
Soon as I got home
very
from
peculiar.
School.
Marmite or Vegemite?
Well, we know.
Vegemite.
Oh, Kylie, you're not even.
Of course,
even, it's
of course.
Take a passport away, Jessie.
Of course.
Do you still Vegemite. Eat it? Do you like Vegemite?
Once in a while, yeah. It's a feel-good thing. But it's.
Have you ever tried it on? I don't know if it would work as well as Marmite, but with spaghetti and butter.
I haven't, but that Jessie. Would work.
Excellent.
Jessie, do but you want
with,
some
So if you're having Vegemite on toast, you have to have an Australian make it for you because it's everything has to be right.
What's the why the ratios?
Your ratios, and you know the enough butter and then the Vegemite's just kind of got to skip over it. That's how I like it anyway. This is delicious.
Is it?
Yes.
Kylie Minogue, we have kept you for far too long.
Or not long enough.
The best.
It depends because I've had such a great time.
Oh, good. Thank you. Will this seal the deal when I tell you, I forgot to tell you that we had a guinea pig called Kylie and a guinea pig called Jason as well.
Oh yeah, forgot.
Yeah.
Kylie and Jason.
Kylie and Jason.
I've had to step away. I don't know what to make it
up. Yeah, and now we're gonna.
I thought I'd heard it all. I've now heard it all.
We're gonna now break your kneecaps and you're gonna lie upstairs and you're going to teach us the spinning around dance. You're never going anywhere. We are Kathy Bates. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank
I love you,
for
you so much.
Thank
we
you.
Love
you. It's
you.
Been so special.
And
good
Lillian,
luck with the
thanks for the dinner.
Oh,
and
it's such a pleasure.
Remember, always chill it.
Always
oh,
chill it.
Oh, okay.
That's never come out of my mouth before.
I like it though. Maybe you should just have that as the tagline.
Always chill it.
Thank you to Kylie Minogue. Good luck at the residency in Vegas. We got to go, Mum. And also, I think we need to do dark chocolate mousse again on the podcast. The next season, let's do it.
Yeah, and that halibut was delicious as well.
It was. Thank you so much for listening to these Table Manners Second Helpings. We will be back with a brand new season very, very soon with plenty more fabulous guests. Take care.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.